Hey everybody, welcome to another brand new episode of Hey Man, It's Okay. I am Sky, your tour guide to this journey to better mental health.
And I'm Brian Heapy, your licensed psychotherapist out here in Newport Beach. And today I am very excited, personally. We have somebody who I was very close with in my formative years. And he is somebody who has had a lot of maybe big ups and downs and is now kind of riding high in the mortgage world, has quite the social media platform. I know on Instagram, at least a few hundred thousand followers, and makes absolutely some of the most entertaining content when it comes to mortgages. I can't really think of anything probably more boring, at least for myself, than mortgages. But watching men makes it actually entertaining, engaging, and informative. Welcome in. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me here.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we were talking earlier about how we met and that early friendship. But kind of why don't you tell us a little bit about where life has taken you since?
Well, life has taken me since 2005. Ryan and I were part of a church. The church hit a snag and I left the church. And after that, I was wandering around trying to figure out like who I am. Or I was at the part of the church from 19 to 25. So I felt like my foundation was shooken up. And who I was as a person, I didn't know anymore and I was lost. And because the church was very charismatic, strict, people say cultish, you don't know what's right and wrong. It's crazy. As 25-year-olds, like, is it right or wrong to smoke a cigarette? It was that crazy. Right or wrong to watch certain movies, right or wrong to date. It was insane. So at 25, so once the church fell apart for a couple of years, I was searching different churches and it just wasn't working out, you know? And as it wasn't working out, I started going out more and started getting a little out of control myself. And, you know, I did that. And during that time, the mortgage industry crapped out. So on top of the church falling apart, the mortgage industry, you know, at that time, 08, was crashing as well. So now you're like questioning everything. And I'm moving back home to my parents' house, trying to like, what's going on with life? The one thing I did learn is that when everyone's leaving the market, you want to get into the market. So I got in when everyone else was leaving. So my rise to the top was easy. And when I was rising to the top, my friends and eventually coming to work for me, because at that point, I'm still probably top loan officer in Southern California because I sat through the market. And when I started making money, it really made me feel like, wow, I have power again, or I have power. Oh, and because, you know, not being raised correctly as a child, not having a great father figure in my life, you start yearning, you know, attention. It's like people want attention from women. I want attention from men, like approval, brotherhood, what I lost in the church, what I think I needed from a father figure, which I didn't get. And so I was making money. I'm out there partying my butt off, just spending money on people, just like people are just milking me. And, you know, then I met other friends like, oh, I want their approval. But they were dispensary owners. So they were like YOLOing it up, you know, going YOLO everywhere, mm-hmm. going crazy. And it's like, and I, through that, I burned through money. You know, I met my wife, who's my wife now, but back then I think we would have had a better relationship if I didn't put my friends first. And when everything hit the fan, also I tried to appease all my employees that weren't great employees. But because, like I said, without the right foundation when I was younger, giving that, hey, I love you, you're great who you are, you're my hero, you're a champ. Those little words like that are like building blocks that if you don't get, which a lot of, I think, young men don't get anymore growing up. I try to pour it as much as in my son, but now we're pouring that, but we got society pouring other bullshit, you know? But because of all that, you're wandering. And it just probably took me a handful of years to figure out like, hey, where am I? I'm more confident in myself as a person. So once I lost all my money, everyone left me. It made me feel like, you know what? It doesn't matter how much money I make, no matter how much you can do for people, they're not going to be happy, right? Everyone will just suck the life out of you. So until you're happy with yourself, it's like you have that permanent gas tank inside of you. You don't need anyone else pouring gas to keep you going. So that, I feel like, for me was the big thing until I know, like, I am happy who I am. And of course, I got married. I want to stay married. So like, I need to change my ways. And I don't want my son to go through what I went through. So I make sure that I love my son. I encourage him. I tell him he's my hero. I'm well, proudly, like, building blocks so that he doesn't become his 30s and 40s and depending on other people to fulfill something that he should have known that he is okay to be who how he is on the inside. And I think that's where I'm at now. The business tanked. I started doing social. And through social, what I learned the most was that people get so upset. Oh my God, how am I going to look on social? How is it going to sound like? So as I was going through my pathway, social helped refine me as well. Because at the end of the day, I started dealing with so many trolls that eventually you get over it. And you know what? I'm in a good place in my life. Why am I here tripping over no else, caring about every message someone sent me? Because I didn't care during that era of 2017 when social became big. I bust through when everyone else was too shy. Everyone thought I was crazy on social, but I was able to, you know, get through this little hole I was in. And dude, I was negative in 2018, negative, or 2017, I was negative 1.1 million. March, wow. I had 660,000. Because of social media, Morgan, I reversed all of that in 2018. I did that all in 1 year. And then wow. I started, then I went to the bank. Then besides that, then it just started cruising up. But it was easier because I was confident in myself. That's how I was able to do content. And I don't care about making a fool of myself. Because at the end of the day, I'm happy at who I am as a person. Maybe before 2007, what's so-and-so going to say? What's so-and-so going to think? Oh, they talked smack to me. Maybe I shouldn't say this. I care too much. So now I'm at a place where, yes, I'm still working on it. I'm back in the church on my terms. But I think I'm back in more so I can build the right foundation to pour into my son, because I don't want him. I don't wish any man to deal with these insecurities and these voices from like society to eat them up, because it's dark out there, man.
Yeah.
So that's the story.
Yeah. Wow. What a story. How did you navigate going down 1.1 million? One of the big things that we really push here is suicide prevention. And I know a lot of people, well, also in that 2007, 2008 crash, a lot of people who took their lives, a lot of men who either lost their jobs, lost their homes. But then for you to go through it twice, not give up, come back stronger, work harder. What was that like? I mean, both the dark parts of it and the resilient parts of it.
The dark parts of it, I think 2007, 2008, I wasn't at that mental place yet. You know what? I can move back home to my parents' house. My mom's there. You know, move back home. That was an easy one. I think having a mom, even though my stepdad wasn't like the best dad, he was a good provider. So I moved back home. I was able to, retreat and mentally know that, you know what? I'm already at ground zero. How much worse can it get? It couldn't get any more worse. I'm back at home. So that's where I don't think that was hard. The second time was hard because there were suicide moments. Like, you know what? I have good life insurance. If I die today, my debt would be wiped out. My son, my wife would have money. They could be happier without me. I wasn't a great dad anyways back then when I had my son. When I was having my son, I was still like partying like a rock star. You know, I think it was like coked out. I almost dropped him. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not proud of that. I'm saying like, those are the things that I recall. Like, he deserves better.
How old is your son then?
He's 10. But back then he was, he's 10 now. This was like 2017. So it's like, him. I was 37. Mm-hmm. So he was like, what, 3-4 years old? So I thought about that the most, but then I felt like for him, I'm the biggest wuss that I gave up so easy, you know? And do I want him to live the life I did? I need to stay alive so that he would not have to experience what I experienced in life. And that helped me fight through, you know? And at that time, dude, it was crazy that time when everything went down in March, 2018, we sold our house. My wife moved to this house in Tustin. I moved back home to my parents' house again. And I think about this. I'm 37 years old, about to turn 38. I lost all my money. I was like popping balls all the time, living this great life. Now it's like everyone saw my humility because I still live in Orange County. So think about, I go out and about, oh, that's the guy who lost everything. That's the guy who's like, dude, people, like even my friends, they made fun. Like they talked behind my back. Men, how did men lose it all? What the F did
he
do?
That's so frustrating.
Like, it was suicidal, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
It was sad. It was hard, like to lose everything, but not just to lose it all, to see the same. It's like you stepped on shit, but you go to school the next day and everyone saw that you stepped on, or you shitted in your pants. And every day you're in class and everyone knows you're the guy who shit in his pants. And to live through that, to fight through that. Of course, I cut off some friends. And of course, I lost a lot of friends because like I don't have money to hang out anymore. I don't have money to spend going out anymore. So like I lost everything. And those are the times like I think my son help fighting to make sure that he didn't live what I went through kept me going. And then it was hard. It was like, literally it was hard. It was like the hardest thing ever. Of course, when everyone loses everything, they run back to God. So it was November 2017 when I saw that bill of $1.1 million. I went to this church. I think it was a Hillsong's actually. And they did an altar call. And brother, I like, you know what, God? I know I fell away. I rose my hand. Of course, the one time they bring people on stage, I was the only guy who raised his hand. So I got brought on the stage when no one else was on stage. They prayed for me. And literally the following week, there were some things with loans. I scratched and dented a bunch of loans. It's kind of like I sold the loans and I ate losses. So I ended up owing $660,000 by January 2018. And that's what I had to work with to pay off. But I think as I put my head down fighting for my son, like I said, I'm not getting religious or anything, but that since that day, I saw like it's like the heavens opened. And literally March, I started running Facebook ads. By May, the tidal wave started moving. I'm talking about, you had nothing. I was holding on my last $50,000. I was making slow payments because we had a lease that I co-signed with my brother signed for me. And of course, I'm not letting my brother's credit go to crack because he had to sign a personal guarantee. I had to like chip off a little bit in 2018. I owed $660,000. I also had to pay that lease. I'm slowly chipping away. I held on, holding on my last $50,000 as I sold my house, and May happened. And I put my head down. And I started working. And that's when, like, you're in the darkest part of your life. When you're in the dark part of your life, you gotta work, you gotta stay busy. When you don't, that's when the voices come, right? You're what? Right? You hear all these, dude, it's like this death comes looking for you and whispers, like, you're not worth it. Just kill yourself. You already have the life insurance. I wanted to drive into a wall and just end it off, right? And then what would my son like? What? Why did dad do that? You know? And it's like, I was sitting there in a car in the parking lot at the AMC in Fullerton. And there was a wall and I was sitting there ready to go because my parents were in Fullerton. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. When I saw it was $660,000, month of March, out of that $50,000, someone had to pay some bills just to fend off creditors, you know?
Yeah.
And like, dude, did not see the light in the tunnel. I started running my Facebook ads. No one was responding. April, I started seeing some response, but people weren't qualified. May happened, and all of a sudden the volume just picked up. And from May until November, so it only didn't take a year, it only took May till November, May, June. So June was my first paycheck, June, July, August, September, October, November, 6 months, and it got wiped out. And if I didn't focus on trying to kill myself, or then like I stopped listening to voices, and I got out of the parking lot. I was like, you ever, I don't know if you've done it, like when you think about killing yourself, you get this adrenaline rush, and then you just get like, when you stop doing it, like convinced, like you get this, like your body, this tingly feeling, like your body, like you're about to like, I don't know, like when you're like, I'm going to do this shit, it feeling to just shake. Oh my God, I don't believe I was going to fucking do it. It was like that real, and not stop that. And then, yeah, just, it was dark. And then there was, as I'm going to like, oh, is my wife going to date other men? Is she gonna suck someone else's dick now? What the fuck? All these things run through your head. Like, someone else is gonna raise my son. I'm like,
we start running through the worst case scenario.
Oh, bro, every worst case scenario. Oh my God. I'm telling you guys, I'm getting like the chills right now just thinking about, but I was ready to crash a car. I was ready to slam on the gas and just, dude, it was some cheap car. Dude, there was no airbags. It was my parents' old Lexus. So I'm like, dude, if I'm hitting this thing, is like killing me. So it was pretty crazy, man. And then I got through it. And I like, so through that time though, I only saw my son once a month because I was so busy working for a couple months, like March, April, May, June, July. That's when I started seeing him more because I was focusing on work. Even though I didn't see him, like, you know what? I got to change. Like once I tried to run to that wall, it didn't happen. I'm like, all right, I got to change. I started drowning the voices out by working a lot. And that time, even though like I did do the altar call, I wasn't talking to Jesus or anything. I just had a, my son, I can't get him to do this shit. And then I slowly started going to church after that. So that's it, man. And that pretty much that year, I reversed it all. I signed this big deal with U.S. Bank after that. And after that, I was like, okay, this time, God, I'm going to keep it right with you.
Unbelievable. So you actually almost remember a moment where it was like the fork. I mean, really, that moment in the car, it was a fork in the road. Of, you know, we can go this direction or that direction. And then you had God on your side.
Yeah, it was crazy. Oh, dude, it's like when you're thinking about it, oh, I'm there, do it. And then as things get worse, that never going to do. It just starts getting more, so much easier this way, so much easier this way. Just becomes, and then all of a sudden, it just consumes you. That's all you're thinking about. As I'm out calling realtors, out door knocking, talking to people on social media, trying to get business, that's all you can think about. This is so hard. This is so hard. If I can just end it right now, dude, I can't do this. And the words like, you're embarrassed too. You know, like, you have no money to, like, you know, you lost everything. I'm still living in Orange County. You know, will my wife leave me? Will she not leave me? You know, I'm like a laughing stock. I think that too, like caring what people think about you, because, you know, you were the man and then now you're not the man. And that for some reason is so important to people. And it was important to me. So I'm like, it's like hard to say, why would acceptance from others be that important? It's important enough to make you feel embarrassed enough to kill yourself. That's how fucking important it is.
Shame is absolutely one of the most powerful emotions. It really is the emotion that pushes us to stay in the tribe, right? Otherwise, we're kicked out and we start having these thoughts and, you know, we go from the big house to our parents' house and then are all consumed by these things. And I always kind of frame depression as like this myopic tunnel vision. It's all we can see. We can't see any other way out but to just give up. And that almost becomes its own self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
What are some things that you've done to keep yourself on the right path, to not go back to that old lifestyle, burning cash, partying, to, you know, because you had your kids back then too. I mean, for a lot of people, that's a motivator, right? But the lifestyle was a bigger motivator then, and the adoration, validation, admiration. Yeah. So what are some things that have like really kept you on the straight and narrow? Because it sounds like you're doing better than you ever have before.
Yeah. I'm not making the money I made back then, but I'm happier now. Because back then when I made that money, I'm also having to entertain a lot of people. So I was like yacked out most of the time out of my mind. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like I'm not doing as well, but I'm still doing good. I'm still better off than most people and I'm like living a good life. But the difference now is this. Number one, I think if I happened again, my wife would leave me. And I think she's the best thing that ever happened to me. So that's why I probably wouldn't do it. That's most of the reason is like the fear of her leaving me is important. And I think now I'm 45. Life is so challenging why you would go out and do that. And I'm on the internet a lot. So I'm like, I don't want to get caught on the internet acting like a fool. Because if I do, then people see and then I'm all over it. And then it kills my business. I think that's the second thing. That's honestly true. There's not anything crazy. Orange County is my accountability. If I run my ads in California and in the four main counties, but if I'm sitting with some girl that's not my wife, someone's going to snack a picture of it and post it. Dude, this guy's out and about. Or I'm out somewhere. Like I said, I don't want to get caught doing something because Big Brother's watching. Not because I need their approval, because it does affect my business why I wouldn't do it. That's probably the main reason why. But at the end of the day, it's still tempting. And then, you know, in the day also, I don't want my son to know, you know, I think, like you said, shame, but it's a different type of shame. I would not want my son to like, my dad's still like that, or he's a piece of shit, you know?
What are some things that you really want to impart on him? Oh, especially coming from home, but without a father? Is that?
Say again? Oh, so yeah. My dad and my stepdad, I didn't know that well because my mom didn't want me to know him because he was, you know, part of a drug trade in Vietnam. That's how they helped my mom escape to America from Vietnam. So I didn't know him that well. But my dad's stepdad was there, but it was never like Asia's typical Asian stepdad or Asian dad, just there to provide, but no love, no encouragement. So now to my son, like I always tell him I love him every day. I tell him I'm proud of him and I tell him why I'm proud. There's only, I'm proud of you, but tell him why. I'm proud of you because of this. I'm proud of you because of that. Like my son, we can afford to buy him nice clothes. He doesn't care about nice clothes, doesn't care about nice things. He cares about just being happy. He's going to be who he's going to be. He doesn't care what anyone else thinks. He sucks at football, but he will keep playing it. And like, you know what? He'll drop the ball and keep going back out there. Whatever he's not good at, he just pushes through. He just, for me or most people, when we're not good at something, we're going to give up. There are the few that fight through it, but a lot of people don't. They go the easy route. So he does it. And I tell him because of that, he's my hero. So those are the things I encourage him, but I'm still fighting. Even though I'm telling him that and I'm pouring all these amazing things into him, but because of YouTube and the internet and society these days, brain rot, Roblox, dude, they're like pouring other shit in him. So I'm like, instead of just pouring something and not worrying about, you know, I wish my parents would pour into me. Now I got to pour into it and block the other noise from what other people are saying. You hear about the guy and this lady convinced this kid to throw her sister off a like couple story building, and kid died.
Oh crap!
Because
I did hear that.
Because what? Some person on Roblox kind of like befriended them.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
And then do it. You know?
Yeah. I've heard about that.
Wow. What does your son think of your social media profile?
He thinks it's great. He knows. Before, he would tell me, like, how do people know? He's like, I told him I deliver a DoorDash, and those are the people's houses that I show up at. Because I don't want him to think we're in this great position or we can do all this to keep him humble, you know?
I'm sure when he grows up, he's going to be so thankful for the kindness and the love and the encouragement, because not a lot of people get that. I mean, it doesn't sound like you did very much. So what a difference you're making in his life. That's so cool.
Yeah, I just wonder, because I see it. You start seeing other people's kids as well, and you can see the ones that their father isn't involved in their life and see how they are. And you're like, dude, I'm trying to be there as much as I can. We have a kid, a neighbor, his name is Teddy. Bro, this kid, when he goes home from his dad's house because his dad cheated on his mom, he has to take off his clothes and hands it back to his dad. So he has to get, except for his underwear, he has to take off all his clothes in front of his mom and whatever, hand it back to his dad, and then go upstairs and change to his clothes. Like, that would F a kid up in his head.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
You know what I just thought of, though, is like how cool these podcasts might be to your son in the future.
Oh, and yeah.
Something that we never had, which, God, I would love to have had just an hour of my dad being and talking about what made him tick and what he wanted to impart in me and his arc and his story.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love that, dude.
Yeah, just to hear that.
And so what are some things psychologically wise that you try to impart to your team, to people you work with, to keep them going? I mean, I've known you since you were young. You have a pretty insatiable drive. You have a pretty innate work ethic. But how do you help others, you know, find that same drive?
Right now, like, there's a good amount of people on my team. What we go through is that I don't think people think so big all the time. Legacy is built brick by brick, you know? You don't see the full picture all the time. And everyone feels like they're waiting for this perfect situation or the picture to be drawn out in their head. Maybe you got to pick up a brush and start freaking slapping some paint on a wall. And then you might start seeing something. But all of those people who, there are going to be the few that, oh, that person just, they had it in their head, but that's the anomaly. Majority of them people, I think, just start painting. And so you start seeing something. And most people don't want to paint because they have that fear. Oh, they're waiting for the perfect situation. Life is not perfect. I think that's the big thing that I drive to my team. Like, you're waiting for some perfect situation that's not going to happen. And when it does, you're going to miss the moment because you weren't ready for it. And do you still want to be where you're at 5 years from now? Because think about all the people that took a chance. Where are they now? Where are you now? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's the one thing I really impart to people. Like, it's kind of like a fear, but a healthy fear in the sense of like, if you don't do it today, you know, you're going to be left behind. And I see so many like guys who work on my team, like they don't want to make the calls or they don't want to stay late. They're just waiting, oh, I'm waiting for this perfect situation. Or I mentor people who do content. They're waiting for this perfect situation to do content and it never happens. And now like pretty much social media is almost dead. It's all ChatGPT, AI now. And that's the next thing. It's like, hey, here's your next chance. But, oh man, what, maybe I can wait till this and this. And, like, it never happens. So that's my biggest thing. Like, hey, to start painting.
You're speaking to me now because I have had that stop, start with social media for, gosh, probably since 2017. And now every day kicking myself for what I didn't do. But then that same kick is the procrastination that keeps me from doing it today. And like you said, now I'm like, but now I'm coming up with another excuse. Like, now social media is dying. It's all ChatGPT. So I don't know. I guess I'll wait for the next movement to happen. And really, it's just being okay with being authentically yourself, not giving a shit what other people think. I'm my worst critic. I get on there, I shoot something, I want to reshoot it again. I don't even want to look at the edits because now I'm looking at myself and I'm having to hear myself talk. And there's nothing more painful than that. So I really need to take a page out of Men's book and just sit down and do it and get over it. But I don't know. It's hard.
Oh, yeah, it is hard. And I think I'll tell you right now, you know why? Because you were a stud. Growing up, you were a stud. people that were studs growing up, good-looking women, they're horrible with content. You know why? Because they're looking for this. They've been told they're good looking. They've been told perfection for so long that if they don't see perfection, they don't want to do it. They put the content on the pedestal because their whole life, I haven't been good looking my whole life. So what? But where's that going to happen to me? You know? But because of that, it's like I'm running a race and I'm alone in the race. I'm going to win for sure. That's all. We got 10 guys who are faster than me, but they're too busy making sure they got the right Nikes on. I'm already done with the race. I'm wearing my Payless shoes because no one, I grew up wearing Payless shoes. I didn't know better. And that's the big thing. I think. Where I tell, you know, a lot, that's where a lot of fear comes with a lot of people. It's like they put it on the pedestal.
So what? Ryan was a popular kid in schools. Which
oh,
is
yeah.
There.
Yeah. Bro. Yeah. Oh, you, yeah. Ryan, you're in everywhere, dude. Yeah.
Okay. It, you're not wrong. I was listening to you talk on this other podcast about your buddy who's the shadow. I hope that wasn't me. But I mean, really, really related to that. And it's something I've really struggled with over the last like 5-6 years, maybe, is I had so much kind of handed to me. Whether I fell into the nightclub scene, but I ended up at the front door of Tao, right? The greatest club on earth. I didn't have to do anything for friends, women, food, drinks. I mean, it was all thrown at me, right? And then all that gets ripped away and people stop blowing me up. I mean, back then I had to gatekeep of where, you know, what energy was coming in, who I was letting in, that kind of thing. And then all that's gone. And now I'm like, where to go? Yeah. Shit. Now I have to put out some effort and energy and actually become the friend that I hoped would find me in a sense. But a lot of times it is kind of pushing yourself through that rejection, through that shame, you know, really trying to, I don't know. It is such a balancing act though, because you can kind of make a fool of yourself. You can flip up. You can kind of get kicked out of the tribe. So I don't know. It's tough.
I think it's okay to be out of the tribe. I think that's the thing. It's okay not to be part of a tribe. It's okay to be alone. You know, you ever in a room with a lot of people and you just feel by yourself?
Sure.
You want to walk up to people and start talking to somebody? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's okay. You don't need to talk to anybody. Something in us. Oh, am I just here not talking to anybody? Am I by myself? Let me go start a conversation with somebody. And then let me be the loudest person in the conversation as well. Instead of, you know what? It's okay to be by yourself. It's okay that no one's talking to you. It's okay. And it only becomes okay until you love yourself, which is kind of corny to say, but I love myself enough to not care what others feel and think. And I think that is the mental health, I think, we need to have in society. You know, there's a thing recently, it's actually in Cal Matters. You might want to look it up. I think let me pull it up here really quick. So there's something in Cal Matters. It just came out, an article came out last week or 2 weeks ago. And the video, dude, I'm at, it was dead. And also it popped up. California men are quitting life, work, and family. It's really big, Ryan, the thing. But it's because California's, dude, it's like the worst of the worst though, you know?
Wow. Yeah. And Cal Matters is like it's like a bureaucratic organization, right? Like
they're nonprofit. They're nonprofit, but they're kind of left wing, but they have their numbers. They have their statistics. Mm-hmm. You know, I agree with a lot of their stuff. So they show all these numbers in California. Like, dude, it's crazy out here, you know? So then I feel like, and men are the worst because like the stress and the pressure we have to carry, not to live life, but like to enjoy life, you know? And it's like in everything in California is about status. It's like, that's what's pressuring men to, dude, I can't do this shit. Let me stop. Let me give up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so you think the real trick is to embrace yourself, embrace who you are, be okay with it. It's okay if it's not for everybody and find that self-love.
Yeah. You know, you got to just cut the noise, man. You guys got to cut the noise. I think the noise is louder than what we think. Because you wear something. Because what people are going to think about you. You want to be a certain way because what people are going to think about you. Do something that what you think about yourself. Dude, my son wears these Aladdin pants, bro. It's not, you know, people wearing back, but no, they look like Aladdin. I'm talking about, I start calling him like a whole new world. I make fun of him. He doesn't care. That's why he's my hero. Like, he just doesn't care. So until, just be happy with who you are. My ass, why are you wearing? It makes me feel comfortable. You know, that's it.
So speaking of your son, you know, we have to go into... The younger generation is really where it starts, is where we start bettering the mental health going forward, right? As we learn as men how to pass it down, what are you going to share with your son about your journey and the struggles that you had? Or have you thought about what if he asked about it?
He asked about it. He asked about it all the time. I told him, like, you know what? Dad cared too much about what other people think. I care too much. Mm. It's like you have your journey in life. And every time someone says something, you start going around what they think. So you lose focus of where you need to go. And you say, oh, I'm going to do this. Maybe you should do this. And say, okay, maybe we should do this. And it's like all of a sudden you're not on the pathway of where you want to go. You ever eat with somebody and they pick the restaurant and you don't? You're sitting there lost as hell trying to find shit around the menu. Instead of you should just spoken up and say, no, I want to eat here.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. You have the whole restaurant uncomfortable the whole time because you're not eating what you want to eat. And you want to be polite to them and not say shit on where they pick. But in the day, you know what? You can eat here. I'll support you. But I don't like anything here. But I'm still, even if you eat the food there, you're not happy. But at least you got to say it out and get it off your chest.
Not the vegan restaurant again.
Yeah. I think that's the worst. It's like eating at a restaurant that you don't want to eat at. Instead of you going where you really want to eat at. And you see the satisfaction of you eating there. That is a perfect example, I think, is that in life is that we always eat where everyone else wants to eat. We don't get to eat where we want to eat. And the moment we do, it's, dude, serenity. Like, oh, my gosh. You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Man, we're getting close to the end here. Where do you see yourself and what kind of, you spoke about legacy. If you've acquired a ton of wisdom, you've had these huge ups and downs, you're at a pretty solid place in your life. You've got a son who is just coming to an age where he's really able to look up to his father and have real conversations with him. Where do you see yourself really focusing on? And what do you, knowing you, I know you want to build. And so what do you see yourself kind of building in the future?
I'm actually taking right now I'm learning how to become a day trading a little bit. I'm getting better at it. If I can master day trading, I would probably do a lot more free education on the ups and downs in life. You know, like what I would pour into my son, I might as well just tell other people, hey, do this, don't do this. You know, I think I'm getting a point where like I can be good enough day trader where I don't care about making money in mortgages. I think I would still be on the internet, but I would be more true on what I believe and not believe, or like the, hey, dude, this is a bad idea. This is a good idea. I think that's where I want to be. I want to be good enough trading, you know, where I can teach my son a trade. Cause I think where his skill sets at, I think he's going to have to learn how to trade or do something where it doesn't require academics. And no. I think that's where I'm putting my energy into. Cause I think at anything, if you put your energy into it and you put it all in and you actually have a purpose that's like, besides making someone else happy, you can do it. And that's what I truly believe too. So that's why I'm focusing my energy in that. And as I do that, I'm going to grow my SoCal Min page because I think, you know, in the day, I love California and I try to go different places, dude. I'm staying here. So, like, I'm going to focus more of my energy on that page and just, you know, that's what.
What's the SoCal Min page?
I have my mortgage page, which I'm probably going to shut down by the first quarter. It's my main page, but because of partners with Adam and Cenas and all that other stuff back, like too many partnerships and too many bad things happening, it's time to just end it all and do my new page. And everyone tells me, oh, you can, like, are you afraid to lose your what's a mortgage? Like, that's what I'm telling you. I'm not attached to a thing. I'm attached to myself and my sanity. So that's why this new page I'm rebuilding, but it's like, I'm not as fearful as I was before because I'm attached to myself, not attached to someone else.
I mean, seriously though, how brave. You've built this thing up. What do you have? 350,000 or something like that?
334 on Instagram or 324 on Instagram. 211 on TikTok. Yeah.
Wow. And you're already planning on letting it go.
Yeah. I think it's so toxic with all the things like bad partnerships, bad decision. It's like, you know what? It's time to just walk away, do something else. All right, I'm still doing mortgages, but do my own channel. But it's just not there in the cards for me. You know, I choose my sanity over making money. Even though I'm going to be all right, things are cool, but I choose my sanity because this is too much with it.
Well, good for you.
Social media, man. Good for you because it's so hard for me to do. I struggle with it. So good for you for sticking to it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, man. Really appreciate having you. It was fun to catch up.
Yeah, man.
Tell everybody where they can find you. Obviously, but I don't know, maybe not What's a Mortgage anymore. SoCal Min is where it's at.
You can find me on Instagram on SoCal Min. I'll be there.
Awesome.
And that's MINH. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Sweet. All right. Yep. Thank you, everybody. Sky, take us out.
All right. Great. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hey Min, It's Okay. We want to thank our guests today. We had so much fun. Min, I hope that we can talk to you again. And you guys, until next time, it's okay to not be okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Hey, guys. Peace.